Romans 4, verse 5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." We're going to look at justification by faith this morning. And just as this verse says, we're going to see that it is not by works, it is by faith. And that is counted for righteousness. Last week we looked at you and your salvation. We found that your salvation was the very most important thing, if you remember. It was the most important thing. We discussed why we needed it. We discussed that you could know you have it for sure. We don't have to doubt. And then we ended really asking, well, how do we obtain it? So that's what we're going to look at today. How do we obtain it? Now, another way to say salvation is the word justified. Salvation and justified are really the same. Justified is just as if we've not sinned. And we're going to look at that this week. We also mentioned last week that it's true we have to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. But once we've done that and it's clear that you're in the faith, then we can rest. We need not worry about it. We need not doubt. We should not constantly wonder if we're of the family of God. Once you've got that established, then we need to rest in Christ and move forward then with what we call sanctification and begin to allow the Holy Spirit to work out in our life that which God would want us to be and do. We never get to that point if we constantly go back and wonder and worry about whether we're even of God. That's not a profitable thing. We need to move forward. And we're going to see that justification this morning will come by faith. And we're going to see how that's possible. Because if you are a believer, you are fully justified. Fully justified. People through the ages have realized that God is holy. We know that. He is holy. He is righteous. People have realized that through the ages. And as a result of realizing that God's holiness and it requires judgment, there is judgment for sin. And those that will not believe will certainly be judged. Hell is real. There's a very serious eternal damnation to those that will not believe. As a result of knowing that, people have done all sorts of things to try to earn their way, to try to ease that guilt. They have crawled on their knees for miles. We're talking about not miles, Krauss. We're talking about miles distance-wise. I'm sorry, I have to clarify. They've crawled on their knees. They do it today. They call them pilgrimages. It happens in the Philippines. It happens in Rome. Priests whip themselves to make themselves theoretically worthy. They do very strange things, contortions to their body to become, quote, worthy. People deny all sorts of things to themselves. They do this today. These are people today, people that are looked at as religious leaders today. They do all of these things to try to make themselves worthy because they know that God is holy and requires holiness. They also know they're not holy and they need to do something. They think they need to do something. And so they do all of these things until you come to the realization of what we're going to talk about today. You'll continue to do all of these things. And that is that justification comes by faith, not by those things. People never feel that they are right with God. Their guilt remains no matter what you do. No matter what you do, your guilt will remain. You are guilty. That's clear. How do you absolve the guilt? That's the problem. That's the challenge, and people want to do it on their own. And they never feel justified. They never feel fully free of that sin. The guilt remains regardless of what they do. They never feel right with God. And maybe you feel that way sometimes. Even as a believer, you may feel that way sometimes. And that's why we need to have this discussion. Because we shouldn't feel that way ever. But maybe you do. You never feel justified. And maybe it's because you're confusing justification with sanctification. So we're going to look at justification today. And we'll get through sanctification. If you confuse justification with sanctification, you will doubt your salvation. Okay? Because you will never be holy and perfect. Sanctification helps us get closer to that through a process. But you might be confusing that. Justification is being proclaimed righteous by God. That's justification. Proclaimed righteous. Sanctification is being made righteous or more righteous, more like the Lord Jesus Christ over time, over a process. They're two totally different things. And if you confuse them, you can be a believer who's doubting your salvation because you think, I haven't arrived yet. I got news for you. You won't arrive. You can think you'll arrive. You can act like you arrive. You will not arrive. You will not arrive until you get your glorified body resurrected and we're with the Lord. So we cannot confuse the two, justification and sanctification. If you do, you're going to have doubt. So let's look at the doctrine of justification. And starting with number one, is it a position or a process? Okay, is it a position or a process? Justification is a legal term that means to pronounce or declare righteous. We all understand you must be righteous to see God and to get to heaven, right? God can accept no sin. God will not allow any sin. So you must be righteous and holy. That's the challenge. That's the problem. And that's why we'll see this, the great truth today. You are declared righteous. Justification is being pronounced or declared righteous. It's making one right with God. Justification is being, as I said before, as if you've never sinned. God sees you fully justified, pure, clean. And why? Of course, He sees you through the shed blood of Christ. What Christ did, that's clear. But you are declared righteous. That's what justification means. It's a permanent change in our relationship with God, whereby we are absolved of the charge of guilty. It doesn't say we aren't guilty. We are guilty, but we're absolved of the charge of guilty, and whereby God forgives all our sins on the basis of the finished work of Jesus. Though we are guilty before the holy judge of all, having violated His law and deserving His wrath, He has declared us righteous. So our position before God is righteous or sinless if we're believers. How? On the basis of what Christ accomplished on the cross. Only the cross can make us acceptable before God. There's nothing that you, me, or anybody can do that makes us justified. So why do people through the ages walk on their knees and whip themselves and put clips on their fingers and do really unbelievable things, to try to earn their way? It's because they don't understand this concept of justification by faith. They cannot and do not believe or understand that we are justified by faith. And it is not of works or what we can do. And that's what we need to get a hold of and understand. It is a position, not a process. Look at Genesis 15:6 as we walk our way through lots of scriptures today. Genesis 15:6. We start this discussion with Abraham. And of course, this is a famous verse. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and He counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed in the Lord, and that was counted to him for righteousness. That's pretty early on, Genesis 15. That's way, way back, right? So, righteousness has been counted to people this way all along. We see early on that believing in God is what is counted for righteousness. Romans 4:3, and you do want to go back to keep your finger in Genesis and Romans, but go back to Romans 4:3. In Romans 4:3, we'll see Paul quoting this verse. Okay, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. In Romans 4, verse 3, we see Paul quoting that. He says, "For what saith the Scripture?" That's a question. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Let's look at the context that gets Paul to that statement right there. Let's look at the context. Romans 3:21. We'll start there, and let's look at what Paul is saying about this idea of justification by faith. Romans 3:21 begins, "But now the righteousness of God, without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, he's talking about between Jews and Gentiles, as we'll see, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no difference. Everybody has sinned. 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance or self-restraint of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, or the Jews, by faith, and the uncircumcision, or the Gentiles, through faith. Paul is making it painfully clear that justification comes by faith in God, and not the works of the law. You could add here even your own works, okay? You could add your own works to this. Not that you say, well, okay, I understand that the Old Testament, Ten Commandments, okay, we're not saved by trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Or I'm not saved by trying to have regular blood sacrifice. Inject your own works here. Your own works of the law. You can add the works of your church. You could add, in verse 30, God says, verse 30 says, God shall justify the Jews by faith and the Gentiles through faith. It's always been that way. Justification does not come from what you can do. In what you do. Justification comes only through faith. Verse 31, do we then make void the law through faith? Of course, God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. The law is, we still need to, sanctification has us working towards living less and less sinful, right? So it's not that we laugh at sin. Sin is a problem and we should avoid sin. But our success in sanctification should not be confused with your justification. Okay? That's what we want to avoid doing. Verse 31 through 4 and verse 3. He says, we establish the law. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In verse 3, Paul interprets 15:6 of Genesis as the faith that justified Abraham. That made him righteous and accepted by God. Let's go back to Genesis, though, and start at chapter 12. Because I see in chapter 12, it looks clear to me that Abraham believed God before it was stated in chapter 15. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So what did Abraham do? Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Why did he do that? Why did Abraham depart as the Lord spoke to him? Because he believed God. He believed God, and therefore his actions followed. Why do we do what we do? Because we believe God. We don't do what we do to be justified. We do what we do because we are God's child, and we believe him, and we want to obey him. Abraham believed God right there. That's why he stepped out and departed. Because God told him to, he believed God was who he was, and he obeyed him. Verse 5, and Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance and that they had gathered, and the souls they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto a place called, we'll call it Sichem, if you'd like that, or Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thee, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord. So in verse 7 he builds him an altar. Why does Abraham build him an altar? Because he believes God. Abraham was a person of faith. He believed God earlier. And 15:6, it states finally that it was Abraham's faith that's justified him because he believed God. But he believed God even before. But it's clear that Abraham believed in God. And that is why you see Abraham doing what he does, which is obeying God and following God. So Abraham believed God, and that's what's counted to him for righteousness. Yes, he was a believer. Verse 4, 3 through 11, back in Romans, sorry, I think yours says Romans. Back to Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Romans 4, starting with verse 3. This is the verse that says, Abraham believed God and counted it to righteousness. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but out of debt. Okay, if a person believes they need to earn their way, if you think you need to earn your acceptance with God in the area of justification, then that would apply to you here in verse 4. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness, or credits him with righteousness, without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Which one? And we'll find out it's not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Verse 5 there, chapter 4, verse 5. Who justifies? God justifies. God justifies. And who does he justify? The ungodly. Hallelujah, because I was ungodly, right? And if you're saved today, you were ungodly. If you don't believe you were ungodly, well, the salvation doesn't apply to you because Jesus came to save sinners. So unless you realize you were a sinner, there's no salvation for you. You're living under the law, and then you can go ahead and be judged by the law. And if you can stand up to perfect, holy, perfect life, then you're okay, which is nobody. So praise the Lord that he justifies the ungodly. Praise the Lord, it's not me that justifies, but God justifies. That's a good thing. Because I couldn't justify anybody. I can't possibly work my way to justification, nor can you, nor can any soul that's ever lived. So praise the Lord, it's God who justifies, and he justifies the ungodly. In verse 9, Paul asks, he asks a rhetorical question, if the blessing of justification by faith only comes to the Jews. He says it's the circumcision, or also the uncircumcision, and praise the Lord, the answer is, also to the uncircumcision. That's why I can be here and part of the family of God, is because I am a Gentile. And of course, God sent the message to the Gentile. And it's been by faith for the Gentiles as well as by faith for the Jews. All people are justified by faith in God. So God proclaimed Abraham righteous before he was circumcised. We also see that. Here, let's go back to Genesis and look at that. Go back to Genesis 15:6 again. This is an important discussion for these Jews because the Jews were saying, hey, how can we let these Gentiles be part of the family? They didn't understand that the Holy Spirit grafted them in. They grafted the Gentiles in to become children of God. And they're saying, hey, they're not of the circumcision. They haven't been circumcised. So let's look at this thing of circumcision. 15:6, we're already there, and he believed the Lord, and counted him righteousness. So certainly in chapter 15, Abraham is righteous. Okay? Abraham is viewed and counted as righteous before God. Okay? So he is a believer. He is justified in God's view in verse 15. Chapter 15. But if we look over at Genesis 17, 10 and 11, God says, "This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt you and me." So, was Abraham justified before or after he was circumcised? Before. So, he was justified before circumcision even existed. But the Jews, they were confusing the issue. Circumcision was never a sign of their justification. It was never their justification. Circumcision didn't save them. Faith is the thing that justifies. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant that God made between him, right, and Abraham. And we know God is a covenant making, covenant keeping God, but circumcision was never related to their justification, only a sign of God's promise. That's important to remember that when we think of God's promises do not fail. When God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. We need to remember that. Because God promised Abraham things. Those promises apply to us. He promises us that we are justified by faith. So we can rest in that and understand that God is a promise-making and promise-keeping God. Okay? So this is Paul's reasoning with these people, saying, look at Abraham was justified before circumcision. Therefore, why are you trusting in your circumcision, is what he is saying. And why are you maybe trusting in something you're trusting in? Some outward show versus have an inward peace. And that's what we want to be careful of. Now, Paul does not say that Abraham became justified through a series of actions that pleased God and thereby he became accepted, right? And just Abraham didn't come that way, did he? He was just his belief. He believed God, and that gave him justification. Simple as that. And that's as simple as it is. Abraham did not work for his justification. He did not follow God to be justified. He followed God because he was justified. Okay? He just believed God, and God proclaimed him righteous as a result. Let's go back to Romans, if we would, in chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace. No longer enemies, but at peace with God. You should have peace with God. If you are a believer, you should be at peace with God. You should not be worrying about your position or your standing before God. We have peace with God. It doesn't say you should have, you develop over time. You have peace. You are at peace. If you're a believer and you don't believe that you're at peace with God, you are the problem. God has already said you have peace with Him. He's not at war with you if you are a believer. So we have peace with God, no longer enemies. The transformation from being at war with God to being at peace with God is not a process. It is a decree from God. It's immediate and permanent through faith. You're not more justified at some times than others. There's a point to all this message here, but you're not more justified at some times than others. If you confuse justification and sanctification, you will feel like your justification is, oh, today I had a good day, I feel justified with God, and tomorrow you didn't, and you don't feel justified. You're always justified. Paul is no more justified than you. Abraham is no more justified than you. God sees us the same way through the shed blood of Christ, which is clean and pure and holy and righteous before Him. Because of what Christ did, not because of what we can do, but we are at peace with Him. So we need to be at peace with Him and know and believe that we are justified if we have believed. It's immediate and it's permanent. You're never going to be more justified than you are right now. That's what the Scripture says there. That's justification by faith. Galatians 2:21. Let's go there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Galatians 2:21. Paul is reiterating this to the church at Galatia. 2:21. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He's reiterating that keeping the law does not justify anybody. It doesn't justify you. Keeping the law is a good thing in our day and age. We should try to obey God's law, right? But keeping the law to the Jew was for their, they believed it was for their salvation and their justification. And he says keeping the law does not do that. It's not based on keeping the law. Otherwise, Christ is died in vain. Galatians 5:1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Paul is warning these believers not to allow, and us, by the way, not to allow ourselves be brought back under bondage of a works mentality. There were people at this church that were trying to convince them that they needed to keep the law to be saved, or they needed to be circumcised to be saved. And Paul is basically telling them how you have forgotten. Don't go back under bondage, under works mentality. Paul's warning this church not to follow another gospel or go back living under the law. If we look at the book of Galatians, starting at chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, we'll walk through as he communicates to them. Chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon moved from him that called you into grace of Christ to another or a different kind of gospel, which is not the same kind of gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Okay? He's going through and saying to them, I'm amazed that so soon you forgot that you're saved by grace. You're saved by faith. It's a free gift. You can't work it in the law. And yet they tend to go back. And the same is true for us. There are people today, we have the same struggle. If we get this confused about our feelings and how victorious we feel today, we can begin to hold on. And you know, if you ask even a believer that's weak, let's say, you ask them, "Are you going to go to heaven when you die?" And most people will say, "Well, I hope so." And well, or yes. Well, how do you know you're going to go to heaven? Well, I try to do the right. As soon as they say I try to do the right, that's a work salvation. I try to live by the golden rule. I try to treat people fairly. All of that is works, 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 works. And a person doesn't even think, they just habitually spit that out. Well, I try to live right. That has nothing to do with it. We could even accidentally say something like that. To say, well, you know, because you're looking at your outward and you're thinking this, okay, I know I'm saved because I'm doing these things. No. You might be saved because you're doing these things. You might not be saved and doing these things. We have to separate our works, which is what we should do because we're saved, with the fact that we are justified. If we get it messed up, we can get our mind back into a works type of a mentality. That's why we need to continually look at justification by faith. In Galatians 3, moving over to verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many are as of the works of the law are under the curse still. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There's so much in there. It is so clear that if we want to try to keep the law for our justification, we will be cursed by that law. We have no justification if we are holding on to the law. And then chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Paul has explained to them that Jesus came to redeem them that were under the law and set them free. Some desired to be back under the law, if you will. They desired they back under the law, or at least some were being taught that. Paul is reminding them of their position in Christ, telling them not to listen to them. He's reasoning with them not to live under the curse. If they attempted to live by the law, they would be judged by it. But we are at liberty. We can have peace knowing that we are secure in His position or justified. And as I said, we're not at liberty to sin, because sowing and reaping applies. Surely you will reap what you sow, but you are not under the law in terms of our position before God. Romans 4:23 and 25. But he who was of the bondwoman, 4:23 through 25. I'm in Galatians. Romans 4. I'm thinking, Romans 4:23 to 25 says, Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, talking about Abraham, but also for us, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He says, the fact that it is written that Abraham was justified by faith was not written just for him, but also for us, that we would understand it and know that we are justified by faith. Why do I say all that? Legalism. In the church? You think? I think. In fundamental churches, we can slowly, I'm not picking on my own church, we can slowly creep into personal legalism. We can do that. We can confuse the sanctification with justification and begin to believe that if we do not do certain things, we're not justified. We're not saved. Now, certainly, your actions can tell. There's a telltale sign there, because what comes out of your heart, right, is going to come into your actions. But so, if a person habitually is just going to live in sin, and you know, obviously, they're not a believer, they're not of faith. But we have to be careful not to slowly creep back in our circles, because we are so concerned. We're so concerned with trying to be sanctified and live holy. We just need to keep that in perspective in relation to justification and not confuse them and continually think that unless I'm perfect, I'm not a believer. You're never going to be perfect. So you shouldn't beat yourself up about that. You should obviously repent, draw close to God, ask God and the Holy Spirit to help you, and when we should continually be sanctified. But if you're a new believer, you're not fully sanctified. So don't expect that you will be perfect. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. And we need to let the Holy Spirit work in people's lives and our own lives. But it happens like this. How does that happen? We have this legitimate pursuit of obedience and maturity, and then legalism can overtake us subtly. We begin to substitute our works for His finished work. And our works are never going to measure up to Jesus' finished work. Okay? So we don't want to confuse that or substitute that. The result is either arrogance or condemnation. And instead of growing in grace, we actually abandon grace and we begin to look at what people do and say, oh, you must not be saved. It's amazing how we can lower that thing down. We say that quickly. We need to be careful and let the Holy Spirit work on people. Sanctification is a process. Justification is not a process. It always ends in failure. It's futile. We need to regularly assess our motives and review the truth of Scripture on justification by faith. And here's how you can tell. A couple things you can see if you are slipping in this area. See if this is true for you. The first one I have is you are more aware of past sins than the finished work of Christ. Are you more aware of your past sins than you are of the finished work of Christ? Are you completely consumed with your past sins? Okay? Or are you focused on the finished work of Christ? You live thinking, believing, and feeling that God is disappointed with you rather than delighted with you. If you're a believer, you're God's child. If you have children, think about how you relate to your children. Your children bring you, of course, there are times you can be disappointed, but they're not your child, right? But do you constantly think about how God is disappointed in you? You're probably putting too much emphasis on your works. You assume God's acceptance depends on your obedience. Do you believe that? God's acceptance, that's justification type acceptance, believes on your obedience. We were accepted first and then we obey. Our obedience does not bring God's acceptance. You lack joy. Do you lack joy? If you are constantly living in this realm, it's very difficult to have joy. Because you're continually, you're doing what Martin Luther did. You're going to beat yourself again until he realized justification by faith. And then you can have joy. There's no joy in legalism. There's no joy. We get it. The law shows us we can't keep it. That's what's amazing about God's love. He saved us anyway. And that's joy. But we need to accept who we are in God's program. We're His children by justification by faith. Legalism. There's a statement I have on your thing there. Condemnation is a result of pondering our deficiency. If I want to beat myself up, I can think about how weak I am. And I could live in this self-pity of beating myself up. But joy is the result of considering God's sufficiency. That's all that matters, is God's sufficiency. We can have joy knowing that He is sufficient, even though we are not always what we need to be. The only way to uproot legalism is through the constant meditation on this doctrine of justification. Review this till it sinks down deep inside. Remember, rehearse it in your life. I think of my own life. I love God because I realized that He saved me when I was unworthy of being saved. I need to rehearse that and not forget that and not begin to. Now, and I was not worthy, right? I didn't work. I didn't have my ducks in a row. Okay, someday you find out about me maybe more, but I was, I was unworthy to be saved. He saved me, and then sanctification starts to happen over time. And so why later now in life do we think that our actions, our works, applied to my salvation? It didn't, but we do that to ourselves. And we can 20 years later doubt our salvation. Why? Because we're not perfect yet, or something like that. Continue to rehearse your salvation, to remember that it occurred before you were a good person, you know? And so we need to continually rehearse that and remember, because I think Satan would like to take that joy away. And then don't argue with the judge. Think of a time when you were guilty of something, okay? So all of you guys that drive too fast, or you broke the law, maybe you broke the law and you were in front of a real judge. And you knew you were history, right? Some of us have been arrested probably. So now think of that, or think of the time you were speeding and the police officer pulled you over, or think of the time when you were caught and you were busted by your parents and you were in deep trouble and you were just waiting for your judgment, which you knew was coming. And the judge or your parent or the police officer says, I'm going to let you go with a warning. I'm not going to give you a ticket. Has that ever happened to anybody? It happens to me. It usually happens to a girl, involves tears. We know that. But how do you feel? Or your parents. You know your history. And you're going to get a spanking. And hopefully it's when you're a child. But you're going to get a spanking. And they say, I'm not going to spank you. I think you've learned your lesson. How do you feel? Pretty relieved? Pretty relieved? I feel relieved. Okay. Did you argue with the judge? Did you argue with him? Did you say, wait, hold on. Why are you letting me go? You say that to a police officer, he'll say, well, you know, on second thought. Right? You don't argue with him. You didn't say, well, you don't understand. You must not realize I was doing 85, you know. You don't say that, do we? No. What do we do? What do we do? We say, oh, we're grateful. We say, thank you very much, and we get out of there, right? Whew. Don't argue with the judge. God paid your fine. You can't explain it. Why did the police officer let you off? Why didn't your parents spank you when you knew you deserved it? Hey, who cares, right? Be grateful. Be thankful. Accept it. Don't argue with the judge. Don't say, God, you must not know how bad I've been. He knows how bad you've been. He knows. We all know, right? Just accept it. Don't argue with the judge. God has, if you're a believer, God has forgiven your sins. Out of His love and mercy, He has chosen to pardon you. Praise the Lord. And we didn't have to work for it, and we don't have to work to keep it. Now, because of that, love Him and serve Him, and you will become sanctified. And the results come in your life. So in conclusion, how do we obtain the great salvation or justification? Clearly, we are justified by faith. Justification is a position, being declared righteous before God, and not a process. Faith comes by hearing, of course, and hearing by the Word of God. When we hear the Word of God and believe in the One who justifies the ungodly, we become justified by the finished work of Jesus. What did the justification give us? Eternal life. We've been spiritually born, given us the Holy Spirit to work, to help us, work with us, placed us positionally in heaven, made us heirs of the King, made us children of God, made us right with God, gives us peace with God, gives us a relationship with God, gives us security, gives us hope, took away our guilt, took away our anxiety, gives us blessings and the promises of God as He cares for His children. And the list just goes on and on and on, what we get from this wonderful gift of salvation through faith. Next week, we're going to look at repentance and see that repentance is part of this justification by faith. So that's what we'll see next week.